This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Presented by Carter, Volkswagen, and Ballard.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports Station.
And Brooke Roar, you are. And Brooke, you are.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Let the fire!
That was a fun conversation with Brady Henderson there, Brock, and just continues to add tentacles to this conversation for the Seahawks and what they're going to do with Geno Smith. I thought I'd add one more in here, and I have this on my show sheet here the last couple of days. This is a tweet, that came from Davis Hsu, H-S-U. That's Hsu, right? Isn't that how that's pronounced? This jumped out to me the other day. I thought it was an interesting look at the Seahawks over the last few years and sort of how they got into some of the mess that they've been in here, you know, roster wise. Mm-hmm. And this is what he ended up writing. You can tell me what you think of this. He says, the Seahawks devolved from being the most physical team to being just another team by pandering to their quarterback and fitting your money, players, personalities, draft picks, free agents as puzzle pieces to help his strengths and weaknesses first. So essentially saying the exact opposite of what the argument was, right? Everyone was saying they need to build around the quarterback. His argument is actually they got in trouble by building around that quarterback. Yep. That they played to his strengths and weaknesses, and that's why they ended up with a roster that was not bigger, faster, stronger than the other guy. So I don't know, that kind of jumped out to me as an interesting way of looking at the problem, right? He goes, go ahead, you react to
that. No. I think some, and obviously that was reactionary to what we watched in the NFC Championship game where he watched two big bullies. Well, that's reactionary mm-hmm. to John Schneider with Wyman and Bob saying, yeah, San Francisco's the model. They're bigger and faster and stronger.
And so is Philly, right? I mean, both of those teams, bigger, faster, stronger. He goes on to say, no way Pete Carroll and John Schneider are going to pay Geno if that means sacrificing what it will take to become the biggest, fastest, and most physical team. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether he's right. I don't know whether or not that's true. I don't know whether the Seahawks got caught building around Russ. I think there were some mistakes made along those lines, and certainly we point to the Jimmy Graham one as the best example. If you want to be the biggest, fastest, strongest, signing a tight end who's a wide receiver is not the best way to do that, right? Yeah. And we've gone through that and trading Max Unger and everything
even
else.
Even Pete and John have hinted at that over the years, yeah, that they made some concessions, yep, I think, with some of the wording that – yeah, you know, and as far as the program goes and how, you know, everybody is equal within the program and, you know, going to be treated that way. Yeah, I think there were some concessions made that if they could go back in time, they would change.
But that's not the whole story. It can't be, right? I mean, drafting Malik McDowell and making a mistake with Sheldon Richardson and a mistake on LJ Collier, those are just mistakes. Right, I mean, that has nothing to do with trying to build around Russ.
Every GM and even the best organizations, even the 49ers, traded and mortgaged a farm for Trey Lance. So, yes, every organization has
strikeouts. But they made some mistakes, unfortunately, and some strikeouts in that realm. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether it's as simple as, oh, everything got screwed up because of this one issue. And I don't know whether they're going to view it that way. Yeah. But I think they should. I think that the last part of this, there's no way they, I would say, should pay Geno if that means sacrificing what it will take to become the biggest, fastest, and most physical. I agree with that.
I tend to agree with it too, Mike, and it's why that right now, as we hit February 1 tomorrow, and we may be wrong, and you can play this back, and you are wrong, because a new deal with Geno is done, and the two sides agreed, and that can get done in the next 4 to 5 weeks, but just my instinct along those lines, my instinct in a pretty revealing conversation with an agent who just said, I don't think they're going to be in the business of overpaying the QB again, mm-hmm, and being just tied to that kind of lump sum. You've got $34 million, according to SpotTrack, sixth most in the league in cap space. Those numbers coming out yesterday. We do know the Gabe Jacksons and the Shelby Harrises and who knows, the Jamal Adams. I mean, there's room to make another $10, $20, $30 million of cap space if you wanted to. You know, there's opportunities to do those things and to move those numbers around. There's incredible draft capital as well. You know, I think it comes back to, again, another point that the hitman made, and shame on us. Cam tweeted at us. He's right. Cam, we should have the hitman hearts music for Brady. True. Next time he's on, we will do that. Okay, that was an excellent point. But as he was talking about, you know, then ultimately that tape, that eye in the sky that don't lie. How many throws a game, how many plays a game did Geno make where you're like, dang, yeah, man, I'd sure like to find. And part of the reason Pete and crew made concessions, because how many times did Russell bail you out and find ways to win and was the wizard in the fourth quarter and just did things that just took your breath away at times?
All of those things that Geno did this past year, you weren't even close to good enough.
Correct.
So, I mean, like, that's the thing. I mean, you ended up making the playoffs.
You were 9-8, played a Rams team twice that was nowhere near the Rams team you're going to face.
That's right.
Over the next few years, right? You did not face franchise QB after franchise QB
all four games to the lousy NFC South. So it's hard to look at this year, as great as it was, as fun as it was, and say, yeah, you're right there. Now, they're not super far away from the best out there. We said that just, you know, 7 o'clock this morning. It's not like they're miles away.
You were ahead of the 49ers at halftime in the playoffs in their own building.
But at the end of the day, your roster is not as good. And having Geno in it, even making no money this year, was not enough to put you over the top. Now, you've got some assets to play with this offseason between the draft and free agency, etc., but you'd have a whole lot more if you had all of that cap space that you would save by signing someone other than Geno Smith. And quite frankly, you know, Geno, for all of the talk of wanting to reward the Seahawks, etc., Mora found this is Pete from last year when they were trying to get Geno signed, just last year.
Everything has led to the opportunity. He was available for it when it came, and he took advantage of it, and then here it is. That's why I'm kind of, come on, Geno, get it going. He needs to get with us. So, but he's got time.
You hear a little frustration. Like, man, this guy's coming off playing in three games. He had a DUI, and all I want to do is sign him. And he's like making this a problem.
Well, he wanted his incentives. I want to be able to, if I am the starter here. Yeah. If I am the starter, I'm not just going to take a minimum deal.
Right. Or,
give me these incentives. If I make the Pro Bowl, give me $1 million. Right. If we make the playoffs, I want $1 million. And you know what? He did a pretty good deal. And his patience and perseverance last year in negotiating $3.5 million in incentives, of which he met all of them to double his money and make $7 million last year, was a real big deal for a guy that had made at that point $10 million the first 8 years of his career. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that process last year wasn't just like,
but
hey,
if that's how we felt last year, how is he going to feel this year?
Right.
Last year, he didn't have any leverage whatsoever, and nobody wanted him. This year, he's got the ability to go to free agency coming off being the league's
most
accurate passer.
We're watching him this year. We're going to watch him this weekend in the Pro Bowl. We're going to watch him win the accuracy contest.
Hey, did I see somebody tweet earlier that Tyler Huntley is in the Pro Bowl? That can't be
that
right.
That is correct.
That's
what?
True? That was real?
I think he's replacing Josh Allen.
I also saw that Derek Carr is in it, which is funny given that he was excused from his team at the end of the season.
Whoa.
So I don't know whether I'm going to be like jumping up and down about what the Pro Bowl means.
Peyton's going to have to do some hard work on that AFC side.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm just saying the quarterback the Seahawks ended up with and the quarterback I wanted them to end up with both ended up as Pro Bowlers this year. Right? That's the guy I wanted, Tyler Huntley.
How is Tyler Huntley in the Pro Bowl? How is that even humanly possible?
I don't know. It didn't make sense when I saw it. That's why I said I'm not entirely sure it's real. I don't know whether that was a real account or whether that was somebody that was
Lawrence, Joe Burrow.
I think everybody asks out. And then you know, you just got to keep adding folks. And the next thing you know, you end up with somebody who played in like four games this year.
They're not even playing a real game this year.
Right.
Like doing a bunch of skills events and a flag football game.
Flag football.
He might be pretty good at that. Especially flag football. He's maneuverable and everything else. All right. Well, it's a fun conversation that, as I'm sure you know, isn't going anywhere about Geno Smith. I did tweet a poll this morning wondering whether or not people think Geno plays for the Seahawks next year. With nearly 3,000 votes, Brock, 72.3% say yes.
Wow.
So creeping up towards Moore's number of 75%. I'm not buying that. I'm at about half that, to be perfectly honest with you. Mm-hmm. I just, the way those tea leaves fall, it's hard for me to see how they're able to really make a deal work between these two sides. But certainly there's a possibility that there'll be compromise, and that's what it will take to get this done. We do have a ranked coming up. No compromise today at all in ranked. Justin and I have leaned into it, despite Brock saying that we were banned from doing it today.
Well-rounded, too.
Yeah, because we missed Down Goes Frazier yesterday in Downs. That was a miss, but, you know, you Moore didn't do any work. So here, Justin and I have done the work, and we're ready to go with Ranked at 9:45,
really,
like always.
If you are doing it constantly, like when you're not, you were doing it Friday night at the bar. You said you were doing it with your family at home the other night.
Moore,
like,
you're right. Passion projects versus work.
As I've told
this
you,
this is just what you guys do.
The difference between personal and business for me is a very blurred line. It's a very blurry line between one and the other.
Naming things is not work.
If you would like to put together a ranking list, we are happy to use it any day you want. We'll be right back. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, SeattleSports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, as we continue on this Geno Smith journey to determine what the Seahawks are going to do, we finally have some real figures to use. Franchise tag has been set for quarterbacks. It'll be $32.4 million, and that is with a salary cap that is up about $16.5 million from last year. So the Seahawks, as of right now, have $31 million in space, but they haven't made their cuts. And they don't have a quarterback, because both Geno Smith and Drew Lock are free agents. So how much are you willing to give Geno? That becomes the first question you have to answer. And that's why I don't think you can let it get to free agency, Brock. I think you got to have an idea of what you're doing there before you know what else you can do.
Man, if the guy that we talk to every Thursday, Jerry DePoto, talks about the offseason and all the puzzle pieces that got to fit together, this feels like there's not even fits. Like, they just kind of move around. The pieces are a little squishy because you can move some of those numbers around. This is what we also do know, is that at least on paper, Mike, they have the sixth most cap space in the league, some $34 million. As you said, that's ahead of a possible move with Gabe Jackson and other veterans to free up even more money. I guess the good news in all of this, though, is we all try to figure out what this puzzle is going to look like, what this canvas is going to be painted. They've got incredible draft capital, and they've got lots of millions of dollars to figure out exactly what they want to do.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Does anybody want to coach the Broncos? Anybody? Hello?
Mark Schlereth? Schlereth?
Is that who they're going to ask next?
Well, they better ask him today, this afternoon.
Why?
I don't know. His name's been bantered about. Maybe he's a possible candidate.
I mean, he'd probably
if Jeff Saturday
no.
could do it in Indy, how could he's Mark Schlereth
probably
do it in Denver?
Making more money doing radio at this point than the Waltons are willing to pay. I don't know. But everybody's turning them down. Jim Harbaugh said no, apparently twice, because they went back for more. Sean Payton so far is not a factor. Dan Quinn, nope, I'm going to stay at Dallas and be a defensive coordinator. And now D'Amico Ryans seems like he's choosing the Houston Texans over the Denver Broncos. Why? I can only really come up with one reason, and it's not cash.
You know who else we need to talk to, Salky? We need to talk to Gambo down there in Arizona. Because just as they're struggling to fill this hole in Denver, what about Arizona? They, too, haven't filled their hole. Indianapolis hasn't filled their void. This is the longest stretch that Adam Schefter and guys that have covered this league for 30 or 40 years. And honestly, it's days like these, it's conversations like these that I do miss the professor. Rest in peace, John Clayton. We miss you because you brought so many years of institutional knowledge into how organizations made decisions and why these jobs haven't been filled. I do think that the Sean Payton draft compensation that has to be a part of this encumbers, whether that's in Arizona or in Denver. And until we know exactly what the deal is with Sean, I think some of these other dominoes will wait to fall.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, some breaking news this morning, Brock, according to Christian Capel, after interviewing at Alabama yesterday for the offensive coordinator job and receiving an offer, Ryan Grubb has decided to stay at the University of Washington, according to a source with direct knowledge of the situation. No new money involved, I'm told.
Wow.
That's not right. So he went, he interviewed, he got an offer, and he said, no, I'm good.
That's a tough place. I got friends down there in Birmingham. A couple of them texted me yesterday asking about this Ryan Grubb guy that's going to interview. And they just said he better have some real thick skin, because obviously it is all about Alabama football and the level that offense has played under Bryce Young and Tua Tagovailoa, and the coordinators been pretty darn high. There's nowhere to go but down, and I think Grubb had to see it for himself. I think that's a valuable experience to go interview with Nick Saban and at least entertain that possibility. But that is good news for the UW to retain that continuity in that system that is so flourished.
All right, there you go. That is everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here on the new Brock and Salk show. The other thing we've been talking about this morning a little bit is just the Matty Beniers situation. It's just a bummer. And you're right, Brock, fine. It would be nice if he were in the All-Star game. I don't get too bent out of shape one way or another about All-Star games. The NHL All-Star game is a tough product, I think. But I don't know how long he's going to be out, right? And if this is a concussion, which is, I think, the assumption, based on the fact that he got cheap-shotted from behind and his head smashed against the ice, he missed two games. He's going to have almost 2 weeks before they play again. Is that going to be enough?
I don't know.
I mean, it sounds like, oh, wow, look at this. It's great, and a long All-Star break and everything else. 2 weeks in the NFL, guys miss 2 weeks with concussions all the time. And sometimes they miss a whole lot more than that.
I mean, Dee Eskridge for the Seahawks, a whole lot more. Kyle Lewis with the Mariners in baseball, a whole lot more. In many ways, derailed some of the momentum of his career. So, yeah, you cannot assume anything with a head injury. Cannot. Because one guy can come back in 3 days, and another one takes 3 months, and the bruising of the brain and all. And again, we're speculating. We don't even know if that is the injury. It could be his shoulder. It could be an upper body deal. But whatever it is, it is a bad deal. It's ridiculous. And I would like to see the sweater out there. He was the lone representative in the All-Star game for the team that is leading the Pacific Division. I think a team that could use every bit of goodwill and exposure and momentum and all of that. So, yeah, and to have it come on a cheap shot to boot, that bothers
me. The cheap shot thing and dirty hit. I mean, it seems ridiculous that the NHL would allow that to go on. Obviously, somebody there didn't think it was warranting a suspension or a fine.
Mike, we need a little abrasion. We need some abrasion.
Well, they do, but I also don't understand why the NHL, who has tried to crack down on some of these dirty hits, specifically ones that had, okay, this, he didn't elbow him in the head, but he caused a head injury with a dirty hit. So who cares whether it was done with an elbow or not? Who cares whether he brought the elbow to the head or not? To me, it's still dirty, and it still leads to a head injury. Where is the league?
And he's a Canuck, too, right?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, boy.
Right? Yeah, the league just protecting Canadian teams, as usual.
Crank up that rivalry.
Crank it up.
Seriously, that guy had a long neck, too.
I spent some time on this earlier this morning, Brock, but I'll bring you into the conversation.
Oh, good.
Two lists. Neither of them makes sense with the other one, and they're both from the same website. I don't see how both lists fit together. I'll explain next. Brock and Salk, CL Sports on 710CLSports.com.
You're listening to Brock and Salk,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio
on Seattle Sports Station.
Two lists, Brock, that just don't work together. Maura found some of these. So, what?
Your two polls within 30 minutes of each other?
My polls are just fine, thank you.
Maybe we should do a poll to see who did the better poll.
I did both polls. So I did the better poll.
I thought Brock was taking credit for one of them.
We should do a poll to see if you should have done two polls.
I don't know. I had a poll last night.
Poll number three.
Pretty strong right now.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah,
is that on our list for tomorrow? Yeah. I think it is. All right, we'll get to your poll tomorrow for sure.
Thank you.
Two. These are not polls. These are, well, they're called rankings. They're at ESPN.com. They're rankings, but I don't put a lot of stock into them.
They're not lists.
Because there are no honorable mentions on these, so it's really difficult to call them, like, legitimate rankings, right?
Right.
But here's what I noticed. So this is these are two baseball rankings or lists, and the first one is of lineups across Major League Baseball. You know where the Mariners rank according to ESPN?
Is this offensively, like batting lineups?
Yep, lineups. Okay. What lineup do the Mariners have in baseball?
Well, with that little bit of a doubt at DH in left field, they're not going to be, what's the power? 10th.
7th.
Oh.
Number 7. Seems pretty high, right?
Yeah.
Number 7?
That's pretty high, especially when you consider you got the 6 ahead of them.
I do. Yep. Actually, no, I don't.
Like the Dodgers and the Phillies.
I don't
have
the 6 ahead of them.
Astros, like right away, you know some of the most offensive teams in the league, Atlanta.
But they have them ranked number 7.
Wow.
Doesn't that seem like that would be a pretty great season if you had the 7th best lineup in the league this year?
With their pitching and their bullpen and some of their defense, yes.
Here's what it says. It's been a whirlwind for roster watchers in Seattle. Haniger, Winker, Frazier, Santana, Lewis out. Hernandez, Wong, Pollock in. The end result looks good, though. you'd still like to see a few fewer strikeouts in the lineup. There's a good mix of power and speed, or players like Rodriguez who feature both. The addition of Hernandez only adds to the raw power in the order, and with him, J-Rod, Suarez, and Raleigh all projecting in the 90th percentile or better in isolated power. France is a hitter with decent power, good strike zone command, and excellent contact ability, a skill set that helps balance the lineup. Seventh best lineup in the game.
Wow.
How about that? Now, this is park neutral, so that doesn't necessarily mean they will finish with the seventh most runs in the game. But just in terms of the lineup they put together, according to ESPN, and because it's park neutral, now you realize that you're actually starting to have a statistical, analytical conversation, right? Mm-hmm. It says their best traits are speed, the long ball, gap-to-gap, patience, and their worst trait is contact.
Okay.
All makes sense, yeah. Right?
Control the zone.
So they are seventh on the list of lineups. So given that their lineup is supposed to be their weakest part, given that their pitching is supposed to be better than their lineup, how are they 10th in the power rankings?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
If you have the 7th best lineup and your pitching's better than your hitting, how are you 10th in the power rankings on the same network?
You got me, Bob.
Like, I don't know what to say after
you
that.
You caught me red-handed, just like, you know, what happened downstairs in our building yesterday.
I know, yeah.
Someone taking a Coke Zero and a spicy what?
Spicy noodles. I know.
Don't do that.
I'm going to go talk to the news director at Cairo. We're going to do an investigation.
Good.
I'm going to file a Freedom of Information Act request for the video evidence.
Yeah, that doesn't seem, those two do not seem to make sense, because not only has your starting pitching been good, but I think one of the traits of Jerry and their crew has done developmentally has been their bullpen. Mm-hmm. They've been different arms, and they certainly have added a ton of different names, some of them totally unknown, which we have seen come in and flourish. Steckenrider and Seawald and other guys, some known commodities that come in and do their job well. And so, yeah, you think you add in the pitching, starting, bullpen, you wouldn't drop in those numbers.
No. So I'm kind of curious to see whether they're doing like a series of these, and are we going to get rotation rankings and bullpen rankings? Because I got to imagine the Mariners are going to be in the top seven in terms of rotation. Mm-hmm. I got to imagine they're going to be in the top seven in terms of bullpen, given what they've done the last few years. Mm-hmm. And it's not like their manager has managed to, you know, keep them from winning. If anything, he's outperformed his Pythagorean the last few years. So you're not going to sit here and say they've got a manager that takes runs off the board or wins off the board. Yep. So put all that together, why would you have them 10th? If anything, they should be a top 5 or 7 team.
Yeah, I guess that, well, this would be a question that my buddy Steve had asked me last week, and that is to ask Goldie, are you closer with what you have done in this build and in this offseason, closer to the Houston Astros than you were a year ago, or the teams behind you, the Angels and the Rangers, who have also made some pretty significant additions?
I think they've made some
additions. If they close the gap.
But I think that they've probably closed some of the gap, but I also think you've closed some of the gap with the Astros. I mean, the biggest thing the Astros lost was a Cy Young Award winner that they didn't really replace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that you can't help that. That can't be ignored. I don't think they're bad all of a sudden. They're still a really, really good team. The lineup's still great. Their rotation's still great. They've got names they can keep bringing in. I mean, they're not going away, but they lost Verlander, and I know you didn't sign him as a free agent, but you did trade for Teoscar Hernandez and Colton Wong. Maybe if you'd signed them for more money, you would be closer to the Astros, but because you traded for them, I understand we have to totally discount them and say it's like they're not even here.
Yeah, but they added back Brantley, and they added Abreu at first base, and, you know, so they too have made some additions. Their bullpen is still nasty. They are still the world champs. They have been the gold standard in your division, and I think if I were to make a case as to how you could have the 7th best lineup but 10th overall in the power pool, I do think the Rangers are going to be more relevant, and they have added, and even the Angels have actually made a couple somewhat savvy moves.
These were the teams they list ahead of the Mariners: Astros, Mets, Braves, Yankees, Padres, Dodgers, Blue Jays, Phillies, Rays.
Mm-hmm. So I have the Blue Jays still ahead of you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that one doesn't feel quite right, right? Yeah. I mean, like, really? The Blue Jays are ahead of you?
Mm-hmm.
The Phillies, I get it. They went to the World Series, but they weren't a better team during the regular season.
So give me the American League there. How many American League teams are ahead of you?
Astros, Yankees, Blue Jays, Rays.
Okay,
so they have you fifth in the AL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think some of their DH, some of that left field, some of that, you know, some of the Zips projections, Fangraphs projections of a couple of those areas that by the way, and I know Jerry has said, and he said to us last week, and he said on other podcasts that this is probably the crew we're going to see. Not that it's totally done and the hay's completely in the barn. And by the way, I think it's now 16 days when he joins us Thursday. We'll be 2 weeks away from the pitchers and catchers official reporting. But I don't know. There's a little part of me, Salk, that thinks kind of like Gino, and that I don't think it's going to get done now or in the next 5 weeks. I think the market's going to play a little. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have to wait to spring training. I think you're going to have to wait to see the needs of some of these other camps when it comes to starting rotation arms. It may feel one way going in and then realize, or may even have an injury or two in camp going, okay,
yeah.
Marco Flexen, okay. Or Pittsburgh realizing, gosh, we, you know, we got a lot of these top 100 prospects, and we do have some young talent here, and we think we can compete. And then they get into spring, and maybe there's some revelations or injuries as well there. Like, I don't think a move is going to happen the next 16 days, but I do think a move may happen before opening day.
That's the nice thing about looking at this. Mariners, according to this, have a top seven offense, are a top 10 team, top five in their league, and they've got a lot of dry powder. They've got money to spend. They've got assets to trade, both at the major league level with pitching and at the mm-hmm. minor league level in terms of prospects. So I don't know. I'm kind of with you on that. I don't know whether anything gets done before spring training or even in spring training. Yep. But certainly between now and the trade deadline in July, yes. the Mariners have a lot of opportunity to continue to improve a club yep. that already looks pretty darn good on paper. I don't know whether this means anything to people. This also points out that they will spend more money than they have at any time in franchise history this year. It's similar to where it was in the 2016 to 18 era. That's mm-hmm. the Nelson Cruz, Robbie Cano era, right before they kind of shut it down. That doesn't, you know, necessarily impress anybody. But this idea that they're going to be, you know, they're not spending any money and they've continued to hold on to all of it. I mean, they're spending a lot more than they were the last few years. So,
yeah, I don't think that will ease those fanatics.
No, of
those
course folks. Not. No. Until they compete with Stephen Cohen and the Mets, nobody's going to tell anybody that yep. the Mariners have spent enough money.
Yep. What are they? What is their line about patience? Patience is what?
It's the shortcut.
Yep. Patience is the shortcut. And I think in this regard, that while maybe there were deals that could have been had and they would have had to grossly overpay, I think some of their patience, you know, through this process, and let's get to spring. Okay. Let's feel really good about what we do have coming in here. And I think to a man, they do. And isn't it tomorrow? Is tomorrow the day that they meet with the media and kind of have their big, was that the Believe Big?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Believe Big, a few years
that
ago.
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was Jack Sorensic, Believe
oh,
Big.
Oh, Believe Big. I'm sorry. Oh, it was a bunch of years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago was just ago. Believe.
Yeah, Believe. Yeah. Believe Big was, we want to forget those.
Right.
Forget all of that.
Forget all about that.
But they will meet with the media tomorrow, right? So tomorrow.
Yeah, so that day is
right
coming
after
up.
Show.
Yes.
Yep. And we'll get a little more feel. And I think you're going to get a sense that they feel very good about what they have.
As they should. I feel really good about what they have. I'm
I think
pumped,
going
man.
In, this is the going into a season, I think you're finding most outlets, be it Fangraphs, be it, you know, power mm-hmm. polls, be it analysts, most have them in the top 10 in baseball. And I don't know the last time there was a consensus going into a season that this was a top 10 team in baseball.
It's not just that it's top 10. It's top 10 with a lot of youth on there, too. I mean, it's not like top 10, but most of the guys on this team are nearing the end. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I see a top 10 team. Julio is on the rise. Ty France is in the prime of his career. Suarez is sort of the one name you look at and say, okay, he might be, you know, drifting over the hill. But Teoscar Hernandez is at the end of his prime. Colton Wong is still in his prime. Cal Raleigh is young. J.P. Crawford's in his prime. A.J. Pollock's older. Jared Kelnick hasn't even hit his prime yet.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's not an old
and
team.
And that's not a pitching staff.
And the pitching staff is very young.
Very young.
Very young. Either yep. in its prime or leading up to it. So. Yep. Yeah, I'm really pumped. I think that the combination of talent, of growth potential, and of assets / dry powder to continue to get better throughout mm-hmm. the year, I think the Mariners are in a really good spot. And yeah, I'm excited. You know who's going to be there tomorrow? Mm. In addition to Jerry and Scott and Justin Hollander and all the rest of those guys, is Teoscar.
Yep.
And, you know, I told you he was the number one guy that I'm excited to see when we get down to spring training here in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because he seems like he's got a little bit of Nelson Cruz to him. I'm not telling you he's Nelson Cruz. He's not as good as Cruz was. His numbers over the course of his career aren't Nelly Cruz. And I don't know enough about his personality to put him in with Nelson Cruz, who's one of the elite guys you'll ever be around in baseball.
Yep.
But he seems like he's got a little fun factor. Mm-hmm. He's athletic. He's jacked. He hits the ball really, really hard. And I think that's going to add a little bit. I think he's going to be an interesting sort of tandem with both Julio and Eugenio Suarez.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a trio that I think can do a little bit of damage.
I think it's Colton Wong, too, is going to be either virtually tomorrow. There's going to be, or he is in person tomorrow as well. And I like that. I like the Mariners are bringing out their mm-hmm. new pieces. And I think, once again, it's just kind of a confidence. Like, hey, here's a few you don't know. You certainly got to know a lot of our young stars. You certainly got to know a lot of the stories. I think breaking the 20-plus year streak, the exposure was pretty darn high, and the buy-in was phenomenal. But here's a couple of the pieces you may not know as well, and they have to be difference makers. Colton Wong and Teoscar cannot come in here and be Winker.
No, they cannot underwhelm.
No, they can't. And I don't even know if they have to over-deliver, but they've got to deliver.
They just got
to
hit their baseball card, right? That's as right. we've said before, just sort of do what you've done in your career. And it is hard. This is a challenging park to hit in and has been for a long time. Mm-hmm. But Teoscar should be strong enough. He doesn't have Justin Smoke power. He's got Teoscar Hernandez power and hits the ball as hard as anybody does in baseball, right? I mean, that stat that I read you a few minutes ago about all those guys being in the top 90th percentile mm-hmm. of hard hit isolated power, that is meaningful, right?
Now, I know you got a lot of papers in front of you. It took you a while to find those. Can you go? No, what? Don't get mad at me. I'm just going to ask you to go back. What? No, you put multiple polls together. Like you got an author tonight you're going to sit down and hang out with, which will be really cool. First time life experience.
Yeah.
But can you go back to that lineup where they're ranked seventh? I'm just curious. Did they put out their own kind of lineup?
Yeah.
Where was Julio's not leading off?
That's
right?
How they have it. Now, that doesn't mean that's what it's going to be this year, obviously. Mm. I mean, this is their guess. Their lineup that they put together went Julio, France, Suarez, Hernandez, Wong, Raleigh, Crawford, Pollock, Kelnick.
Interesting. Gosh, was there a lot of names to kind of move around to different spots, huh? Mm-hmm. I don't think Julio's hitting leadoff this year.
I kind of don't want him to hit leadoff this year, right? I mean,
I don't think they want to.
No, I mean, I think the hope is that somebody like Colton Wong ends up mm-hmm. sort of taking that job over mm-hmm. and that Julio can hit second and then, you know, everybody kind of moves down one. I mean, I if I'm toying with this, yep. I feel like I'm going, I'd like to go Wong, Julio, Hernandez? Like Teoscar third and then France and Suarez and those guys in the 4-5 range and kind of figure it out from there.
Here's what I know. This little exercise, Mora, Justin, get ready. Because if you think Salk's been giddy about spring training in years past, if you think he's gotten a little bit of... Oh, yeah, we're going to get our computer set up. We're going to put our desk right outside. We're going to be right there as the sun's rising over the fields. Oh, my gosh. Are you going to be at a different level in 23?
Yeah, woo! I think it should be pretty fun this year. I'm looking forward to it. We'll be down there the week of February 27th for the first few games. Right now, though, let's do some ranked.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwarmfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Saul.
Yeah, top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
I like this team. Ranked. Matt, I like this team. I like them a lot.
Dude.
What do you want? I'm giddy about this team.
As I'm sure you know, Brock, today is the anniversary of the Green Lantern.
Hornet.
Green Hornet. Sorry.
As I'm sure you know. Brock.
Green you want Hornet. To start that over? Go ahead.
Brock, as I'm sure you know, today is the anniversary of the release of the Green Hornet.
Hornet.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know the Green Hornet, right?
Was that the car in Lightning McQueen?
Don't worry about it. That's funny.
That is pretty good.
So with that in mind, we are not ranking Hornets, but Greens ranked.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've got a few off the top of your head, Brock.
Uh-huh.
Of course, there's a bay up there in Wisconsin.
Green Bay.
That's right.
Yep.
Children's book, Dr. Seuss.
Oh, and the green eggs.
And ham, yes. Mm-hmm.
Happy you got Green Bay out of the way right away, because you know people are going to expect that to be up here.
Yeah.
But
Brock, if I'm not mistaken, didn't someone in your family almost have a run-in with a famous mass murderer?
Yeah, my mother.
With?
Oh, crazy man. UW guy.
Was it the Green River Killer?
No,
it was
no.
Ted Bundy.
I was trying to think, how was Ted Bundy green?
Sorry, I thought it was the Green River Killer.
No.
That your mom basically escaped.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Don't like spending any time on that guy. Let's move on.
You ever go to Hawaii and watch the sunset?
Yeah.
You know, you're supposed to be able to see right as the sun
goes.
Oh,
the green flash.
The green flash. Nice job, Brock.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We do have some sound, like Green River by CCR. There you go. I know how much you love green jello / green jelly, Brock. Little pig, whack me That's ridiculous.
What was that?
That's green jello.
Green jello.
They've actually played that before when they ranked
threes.
Mora. Three little pigs. What was that?
I don't know.
It was a sort of a novelty song.
It is.
It's a sort of a novelty. Not like Sugarloaf, Brock. This one's a much more famous song. Green lady feels like I never see setting suns and lonely lovers free. That song's really good, by the way.
It is really good.
Yeah, Sugarloaf. Do they have any other songs or is it just that?
Well, no, there's another repeat appearance though, Maura, just in case you want to call that one out.
310 is alarmed that you're now trying to put serial killers in ranked. They think you've gone a little too far with this list.
We're going to be ranking serial killers tomorrow. Don't worry about it.
You want to crown them? Then crown their ass.
Oh, jeez. Dennis Green. Dennis. Be quiet. That's enough out of you. Draymond Green, AJ Green, Amon Green, Rasheem Green. Of course, Ralph Nader, Brock had the
Green Party.
There you go. Nice job.
Oh, I forgot my wrestling. Growing up, our wrestling club was called the Green Chain.
Oh, I'm surprised we didn't make it on here.
Working at the sawmill. It's the toughest job of the mill.
Mike and Mike with
Mike Greenberg.
Thank you. And famous RBI and home run champion.
Hank Greenberg.
Nice job. You had that in you.
Yeah.
Of course, GIR in golf stands for
Greens in Regulation.
Nice job once again. Uh-huh. You probably don't know this Mr. Big tune, but I have to throw it on there. It's a green-tinted 60s mind by 90s supergroup Mr. Big.
Interesting.
Yeah. You like this movie, Brock, The Green Mile?
I want it to be over.
Yeah.
I'm tired, boss.
Mm-hmm. You ever seen that movie?
Right.
Yeah. It's long.
Is it long?
Yeah. 4.5 hours.
Four and a half hours? What?
Oh, it's that bad.
Ho, ho, ho.
Green Giant.
Yep, there you go. Make sure he's in there. Of course, as a kid, you might play Red Light, Green Light.
Red Light, Green Light.
Red Light, Green Light.
And then Limp Bizkit had a song.
With Snoop.
With Snoop. What a combo.
That
I don't know how many times I've seen Clue. This should probably be in my top five, but I know that not everybody loves Clue like I did. You got Mr. Green.
You want to know who killed Mr. Body? I did. In the hall. With the revolver. Okay, Chief, take him away. I'm going to go home and...
Oh, hello. I love that movie.
Certain Shade of Green, Incubus. Thank you, 425.
Oh, I didn't thought of that one. Not a huge Incubus fan. How about Soylent Green?
Mm-hmm.
Greenland.
People.
Yeah, Moore is upset about this, but she's just green with envy. That's okay.
It's true. We haven't snuck the Kelnick laugh in here in a while, so
no,
I bring that back.
No, that would have been probably a good spot for it right there.
What's his laugh?
Huh?
Oh, man. Brock, I forgot you missed out on that.
Dr. Green Chum. I'd like to tell you just where I'm from, in the hills where the trees go wild with me.
That's a little Dr. Green Thumb from Cypress Hill. Of course, my friend Ben Kovler started a company called Green Thumb Industries, and it's like big time. Player in that industry.
Interesting.
One of the best colors in the world, John Deere green.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Brock, this is the Kelnick courtesy laugh from spring training last year when Salk was talking to him.
Very nice. Time for the top five. Number five.
Let's together.
Yes, great. Al Green, Brock. Al Green at number five.
Good song.
Note, yes. Thank you, Maura.
Yeah.
It's worth being
I'll
in the
be
top
honest.
Five.
Number four, I don't have any sound for it, but I live it every day, Brock. The only spot in Seattle where I would advise putting a floating arena
is on Green Lake.
Is right on Green Lake.
Right there.
Yes. My home, Green Lake.
Over my favorite neighborhood of Greenwood.
Yeah, sorry. I live near Greenwood as well.
Love it.
I had a house on 77th. When you buy it, it's Greenwood. When you sell it, it's Finney.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Good. That makes sense.
I'm not paying that much. This is Greenwood. Then when you go to sell, you're like, come on now. This is Finney Rich.
We're right by Wing Dome, and you didn't fall in love with it?
I love Wing Dome. Yeah, okay. They used to bring us wings here all the time.
If you don't have this in the top three, I said yesterday your right. band after down
number
goes,
three.
You better have
it's
it.
Not easy being green. Seems you blend in with so many other ordinary things.
I mean, the great Kermit the Frog, Kermit T. Frog, I should say. Is that
it's
the one you're talking about?
Green,
it's not easy
it.
Being green.
That
nope.
had to be it.
That's what? Not it.
Huh. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, number two is an obvious one, then, I would think, as well, from another incredibly long movie.
First of all, you're all done. The Coyote family don't even have that kind of muscle anymore. The Godfather is sick, right? You're getting chased out of New York by Barzini and the other families. What do you think is going on here? You think you can come to my hotel and take over?
That would be the great Mo Green. Now, he led to a tough end for him, shot through the glasses at the end.
Yes. But,
right.
Spoiler alert.
Happens to the best of us.
Green Man from Always Sunny. That's a good character.
Oh, yeah. Guy dresses up as a Green Man. And then our friend did Charlie. That up in Vancouver. Remember that?
Salk, you got one shot here. If this, you have
this
not mentioned it
days.
Yet. This is back to back
I guarantee
days.
It's not what you're thinking.
Oh, my God.
I did think about Mr. Green from the night before.
Mr. Green. What's up, man?
Good evening.
Michael Shannon's pretty great.
Was it Amon Green?
Nope.
Machine Green?
No.
AJ Dude. Green?
Dude.
What?
What is wrong with you?
Missing another obvious one?
Yes, this is a sports show.
Huh.
And yesterday was down, and it was...
I mentioned one to you guys earlier. Did you leave Mean Joe Green off?
No, I think I just didn't mention him yet. Oh, he's okay. on this list. I have him on air. Mean Joe Green, he's on.
So, what starts blooming in a month? The azaleas?
Yeah, at Augusta.
Start blooming.
Yeah.
And what do they give out?
Oh, the green jacket.
Yeah, that's a good one. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's wow. a big one. That's oh true.
I'm out.
I mean, it's a big one, but is it bigger than...
Do you have the time to listen to me whine?
I mean, that's like my theme song right there.
About nothing and everything all at
once. Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? That song is basically my theme song.
It's true. How do we not realize that until right now?
Number one on my list.
The Green Jacket.
Sorry, Green Day beats the Green Jacket.
Should have done that when we were talking about lyrics to describe your day at work.
I know, I should have. This one's for Brock.
Simple Green. Never use any Simple Green?
Huh?
Never use any Simple Green?
What's that?
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Fantastic. This like was great,
got,
guys.
I think this was a good one. I feel really good about this
Me
one.
Me too.
I'm just glad the Green Bay Packers got immediately kicked out.
Do you even like sports?
Not really. No.
They would prefer to talk about music every day.
Yeah. I like music more than sports.
I can't wait to hear about this author tomorrow. Have a great time,
Thank you
and Heather.
I'll let you know how it goes. So Jacob Green, yes.
Yeah.
The Tulane Green Wave.
Did you have the Green Monster?
No.
You don't even like sports. We're out. Hayes in the barn.
See you, buddy.